want to go ahead and just jump right in because I know we got a lot to cover, and I know that kids can be restless in things, but God is good. I'm excited to what God has to say to us this morning. If you're new, for the last few weeks, we've been talking about this idea of foundations, that in this new season, in this new chapter in life here at Mountain Valley Chapel, my heart is to see us all on the same foundation, the same playing field. And for me, what that foundation is has everything to do with what Jesus tells us to do, but not just hearing what he tells us to do, but actually doing what he calls us to do. We've been talking about this these last few weeks. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." And of course, he goes on to say, when the storms come, when the winds blow, the house will stand because it was built on the rock. And that foundation for us is that we want to be a church that builds our foundation on who Christ is, who he calls us to be, and what he calls us to do as his followers. We've talked about this. Being a follower of Jesus is not a passive thing. Christ commands us to live a life that he purchased and paid for, right? We come to our salvation through faith in what Christ did. We believe in who he is. We believe in what he did. But now that we are his followers, we need to follow him, do we not? And so that is what we have been focusing on. And Christ has given us as the church a mission. And I just want to, again, as a review, that mission, and it's the mission of Mountain Valley Chapel, is to go and make disciples. This is what Christ commands us to do. These were his marching orders before he ascended into heaven. And for the last 2,000 years, this has been the marching orders of the church, to make disciples. And as we make disciples, we are to baptize them. The next step in faith is you come to Christ and you get baptized, which is, I'm so excited that we get to celebrate that here in just a few weeks. I know there's a few of you I still need to reach out to, and I promise you I will. But the next step in our faith is doing what Jesus said. Jesus himself was baptized, so we too should be baptized. And we get baptized in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. But then what are we supposed to do with these new disciples? We're to teach them, yes, but we're to teach them to what? Observe, to do, to live out all the things that he's commanded us to do. And so we've been talking a little bit about, well, what has Christ actually commanded us to do? In fact, me and some friends and colleagues, we spent some time talking about this very thing. What did Christ command us to do? Now, there's hundreds of things that we could probably look through Scripture and find out what Christ commands us to do, but we were able to kind of sit down and really put together 10 things that we see not only Christ modeling in his own life, but things that he commands us to live out as well as his followers. And again, we've been talking about these last few weeks, these 10 commands, these 10 actions that he calls us to live out as his followers. Now, the way we're going to accomplish making disciples has to do with the vision of Mountain Valley Chapel. Has to do with loving God and loving people. And again, as a way of review, we've talked about how these first 5 commands that Christ gives us to live out have everything to do with you and your personal walk and relationship with God. The way we surrender to him every day, the way we've been talking to him, the way we listen to him, the way we remember his faithfulness and lay aside the things in our life that are keeping us from pursuing him. And of course, the other 5 then have everything to do with how we love people. And again, as we live out these actions, we fulfill that vision of loving God and loving people. And as we do that, we also fulfill the mission of God by making disciples. Again, over the last few weeks, we've talked about surrender. And I challenged all of us, encouraged all of us to wake up every single day and just say, God, I'm yours. All that I have, all that I am, it's yours. I surrender to you today. Of course, the first step is giving your life to him and becoming his follower. But then Christ also challenges us that it's a daily walk. It's a daily walk. We need to deny ourselves, take up our crosses daily, and follow him. Following Jesus is a daily thing, so we need surrender every day. And of course, last week we talked about talking to God, how one of the most important things we can do is actually talk to the Father. And we kind of walked through ways in which we can talk to him. So if you're new to praying, or maybe you're just looking to kind of revitalize your prayer life, we talked a little bit about how you can begin doing that. But again, my encouragement, my challenge for you was to just spend every day talking to the Father. We need him every single day in our lives. Today we're going to talk about how Christ commands us to listen to the Father. Many people don't think about this, but over and over in Scripture, Christ actually talks about how we need to hear from him. We need to hear from the Father, which begs the question then, how do we hear from God? And you can see in your notes, there's four things I just want to briefly talk about today. This is not an exhaustive list. These aren't the only four ways we hear from God, okay? But these are just what I have seen in my own life, how I have seen and experienced God talking to me, how I hear from him, okay? And again, we've already talked about this, but the first one, prayer. Again, prayer is just talking with God, right? For those of you that are married or in a relationship, what is one of the most important values or principles in a relationship? Listening, communication, okay? Prayer isn't just about talking to God. Yes, we talk to God, but we also need to listen to God. It's how we grow in our relationship. He talks to us through prayer. A really good example of this is a young boy learning really trying to learn and understand the voice of God. You guys know the story of Samuel when he's in the temple. And the Lord calls out to Samuel and says, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel, of course, he's living in the temple. He's living under the leadership and guidance of Eli, the high priest. And so he goes to Eli and he's like, "Yes, you called for me." And Eli's like, I didn't call for you. Go back to bed." And so then he goes back, and then a second time happens, "Samuel, Samuel." So he thinks Eli's calling. He goes, and, "I'm here. What did you want?" "I didn't call you." Eli begins to realize that God is speaking to him. And so Eli encourages Samuel. He says, "I think God's trying to talk to you. So the next time you hear the voice call out to you, here's how I want you to respond. Speak, Lord. Your servant is what? Listening." And so, of course, the Lord calls out to Samuel, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel's response is, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." Prayer also involves listening to God. Another way we hear from God is through our circumstances, the good and the bad. How many of you have ever experienced or learned something from the circumstances or situations in your life? God is always at work around you. God is always trying to get your attention. And he will use circumstances, again, good and the not so good, to get your attention. He speaks through those things. And I'm grateful that the Lord spoke to me through circumstances, because for me, it was hitting rock bottom that made me hear his voice and respond to his call. He speaks to us through our circumstances. God also speaks to us through people. We see this in Scripture. God spoke to Abraham. He spoke through Abraham, Moses, the prophets. All these people spoke on behalf of God. They communicated God's will and message to them. We see this in the New Testament where the new believers go out and spread the gospel, right? We're called to make disciples, so we tell others about Jesus, right? But I want to just do a quick thing here. We also need to make sure, though, when people speak to us, whether it's a word from the Lord or speak over us, we need to be careful with this one. Because as we'll see today, there are many voices vying for your attention. There are many voices wanting to say something to you. And in some instances, there are good intentions behind what is being said. But can I say not every voice is the voice of God? Not every time someone comes and says something to you in the name of the Lord, is it from the Lord? I know this in my own life where I've had people say things specifically to things that are working and God is doing in my life, and I've never met these people, and they're affirming things that are going on, and I can look back and test those things and be like, wow, they were right on. Why? Because we have the same spirit living in us, do we not? But I also have had people, well-minded, Christ-loving people, speak things over me or into my life that are so contrary to what God was wanting or asking or saying of me. So I just want to put a warning out. We need to be careful when we start declaring things in the name of the Lord. I want to speak life, and I want to declare the truths found in God's word, and that's what we're going to talk about here in just a moment. But again, we need to test things, as the scriptures say in 1 Thessalonians. We need to test all things. But what is it we test it against? Well, that's the fourth thing, his word. And this is where we're going to spend our time today, because I believe that the Word of God, the Bible, is the way the Lord primarily speaks to his people today. I am not saying he does not speak to us in prayer. I'm not saying he does not speak to us in circumstances or through people. But God's primary way in which he communicates to us is through his Word. He will use these other things, but in order for us to know whether or not it's the Lord's voice speaking to us, we need the Word. We need the Word. It is important that we listen to God primarily, again, through his Word. Now, again, that begs the question, why is it important then? Why is it important we listen to God through his Word? And there's many reasons, but I just want to give what I think is probably the most important reason that we listen to God, we hear from God through his word. And it is simply this. We need to know his voice. We need to know his voice. Because like I said, there are many voices out there. But not every voice is from the Lord. The enemy is disguised as a wolf in sheep's clothing. The enemy is the father of all lies. And sometimes the enemy will use truths from God's word and twist them, and we think it's God. And the reason we think it's God is because we actually don't know his voice. We don't know his voice. We need to know the voice of God. And how do we know the voice of God? Well, we read scripture. We hear what he sounds like. We see what he does through circumstances and situations in people's lives. We see how he speaks. We learn his character. We learn his tones. So that when he does speak to us, if we're walking with him daily, if we're having and building our relationship with him, when he speaks, we can know his voice. And then we can respond to what he's asking us or saying to us. We know it's him by his word. We understand, we learn his voice, his tone, his cadence, how he speaks in certain circumstances. We learn the character of God. Because if it's anything outside of what we see in scripture, it is not the Lord's voice. Again, the devil disguises himself as a wolf in sheep's clothing. He will say things, as we'll see here later, from Scripture, but he twists it. And if we're not in tune to God's voice, we will fall for the twist. We need to know his voice. It is important. It matters that we know the voice of God. Again, when I say this, I'm talking primarily through his word. It matters. And here's why. We'll try to go through this very quickly, but at the same time, I don't want to just breeze through this. Why does it matter that we know the voice of God? First, I just want to say, I just want to pray really quick. I just really feel like we just need to pray, because I really do think that for some of us in this room, we have been listening to what we think is the Lord's voice, and it has been a lie and a deceiver all along. And my heart is for us to understand how we learn the voice of God. So I just want to pray that this morning. Father God, Lord, we just come to you and ask to hear your voice this morning. Lord, even for myself, if there's anything that I say that is contrary to who you are and what you call us to do, Lord, remove it in the name of Jesus. Give us hearts and ears to receive your words this morning. And anyone who might be listening to the deceiver, in the name of Jesus, Satan, get behind us. You have no place here. We were bought and purchased by the blood of Jesus. So in Jesus' name, shut your mouth. Amen. And Holy Spirit, would you speak to us today? In Jesus' name, amen. So why does it matter that we know the voice of God? Again, primarily through his word. Why does it matter? Number one, relationship. Relationship. You've heard this said many times. We follow a person, not a religion. It is about relationship, not religion. And one of the ways we grow in our relationship with the Lord is by hearing from him through his word. Jesus himself says this in John 10:27. My sheep, what? Know my voice, hear my voice, listen to my voice. My sheep, my followers, my children, they listen to my voice. Christ wants a relationship with you. God wants a relationship with you. In fact, he himself will tell us this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 and 18, Paul is talking about how we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, God's dwelling. He is closer to us than he's ever been because the Holy Spirit lives in us, and we are the temple of God. So when we are in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells you. He lives with you. He's always with you. And these are God's words himself talking about us as his temple. God says, I will dwell and walk among them. I will dwell and walk among them, meaning I want to be with them. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. And I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. These are God's voice. And if I could just sum up what he's saying here, what Paul is speaking to us through God's words, is that he wants a relationship with you. This is his heart. This is his desire, is to know you as his people, and we know him as our God, our Father. It's about relationship. Our identity is not found in what we do or what we say. Our identity is not found in our past circumstances. What is our identity found in? Christ. And by coming to Christ, what does God declare us to become? His children, and he becomes our Father. When I read this, I can't help but think about my own kids and how I am their father, their dad, and they are my sons and my daughter. And my heart's desire is for them to know me. And I want them, and I want to know them. And by spending time with them, I learn their voice. I have three kids, four and under, and if you've been a parent or been around kids like that, you know all kids that age talk the same, sound the same, right? Can I get an amen from the parents? Okay. But do you know that I know their voice? That even though there could be 100 kids in this room all sounding the same and saying the same things, I could pick out which ones were my kids because I know them. And I know their voice. Just as if we had my kids up here and there were a bunch of us in this room calling out to them and their job was to find daddy, And they could hear someone over here calling their name, and they'll look because they hear their name, but they won't recognize my voice. So they won't go. But then when daddy starts saying, come here, they'll come. Why? Because they know me and they know my voice. It is the same thing when it comes to our relationship with God. We need to know God's voice. And even just a quick plug going in back to last week, God wants to know your voice, which is why I encouraged all of us last week to spend 5 minutes praying, talking to him. He wants to talk with you. He wants a relationship with you. And we need to know God's voice. Again, why? Because there are voices out there that are trying to draw you away from him. We need to know his voice. And the way we know his voice is we spend time with him in his word. It's about relationship. That's why it's important we know God's voice through his word. But it's not just about relationship. And this one might irk a couple people, but that's okay. We're all family. It's important, it matters to know God's voice, not just because of our relationship with him, but knowing God's voice brings about obedience. It brings about obedience. You remember that passage we just looked at, John 10:27? Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. Well, then he'll go on to say, I know them, and they what? Follow me. And we've already talked about this. Followers of Jesus don't just sit around and do nothing. Followers of Jesus follow Jesus, which means we, again, going back to our key verse for this whole series, anyone who hears these words of mine and what? Acts on them. Okay? It is about listening to Jesus. It's about hearing God's voice and doing what he says. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I mean, even go back to our mission, the Great Commission, to go make disciples. Before Jesus declares that mission, he reminds his disciples and he reminds us. He says, all authority. And for you Greek scholars out there, that word all means all, okay? All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples, okay? When we come to Christ and surrender our life to him, he becomes our Savior and our, starts with an L, Lord. We forget sometimes that Jesus is Lord. We sang that over and over again this morning, that the glory of the Lord belongs to him. All of it. And so when we come to Christ, yes, we come to him by faith. It's plain and simple. Scriptures are clear. We come to Christ through faith. But now that we have come to him, we are to follow him. Christ's half-brother James would say this in a letter to the churches. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. James makes it pretty clear. If we just listen to God and we don't do what he says, we are deceiving ourselves. He'll go on to say, you would be like a man who looks in the mirror, sees what he sees, and turns around and immediately forgets what he just saw. Immediately forgets what he looks like. It's the same thing when we come to God's word. We could read God's word and hear God through his word, but if we don't apply what God is speaking to us, it's like we read it, closed the book, and then forgot what we just read. Being a follower of Christ requires obedience as well. Now, I just want to say one quick thing here. This is where it gets hard for some of us. Because I am all for relationship with Christ. I'm not about legalism. I'm not about legalism. I am all for relationship with Christ. But I know so many Christians who are so Team Jesus in my walk and my relationship with Jesus that they have nothing to do with the body. They have nothing to do with serving their communities. They have nothing to do with serving their families. They have nothing to do with making disciples, the one thing that Christ commands us to do. So yes, they have a relationship with him, but they're so anti-legalism that they forget to actually walk in obedience to what he says. But then I also know people, Christians, who are so busy working for God, doing for God, that they fail in having a relationship with him. I mean, look at all the other major world religions in the world, all claiming to know God, but they're trying to work their way to him. A.W. Tozer, and I'm going to paraphrase, said it this way: when it comes to our faith, i.e. our relationship with God, when it comes to our faith and our obedience, it's like two sides of the same coin. You can't have one without the other. Being a follower of Jesus requires a relationship, but it also requires doing what he says, following him. Again, that's why we're talking about this. Those who hear my words and act on them will be people who build their house on a rock. When storms come, when false voices come, we'll be able to stand and discern the difference because we are a people who would hear God and do what he says. We need to be doers of the word, not just hearers. And just to drive the point further even more, just real quick, Christ himself said what I think is one of the most scariest things in all of Scripture. Right before that passage of Scripture where we talk about how we are to hear God's word, hear what Jesus says, and act on them, Christ himself would tell us that there will be people in the last days who will try to enter the kingdom, and they'll say, "Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. We prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We did so many wonderful, miraculous things with you." And Christ says, again, what I think is one of the most scariest verses in all the Scriptures. He says he will declare to them and say, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." The most important thing is relationship with Jesus. But it requires us to surrender to him every day, hear what he has to say to us, and then do what he says. Again, we can't earn our salvation. That was bought and paid for by Christ, by grace through faith. But now that we are saved, it's time to get to work. Again, James will go on to say, "I will show you my faith by my works." Faith without works is dead. It's a dead faith. And I do not want us to be a people of dead faith. And I'm not claiming us to be that. Please hear my heart. That's not what I'm claiming us to be. But we need to be reminded of these things. It's important because it's important to know God's voice through his word because it brings about obedience in our lives. Third thing, it's important, it matters to know his voice because knowing his voice brings about spiritual growth and guidance for our lives. Knowing the voice of God will bring about spiritual growth and guidance for your life. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says that God's will for your life. How many of you want to know what God's will is for your life? It says it right there in Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. This is God's will for you, your sanctification. God's will for your life is your sanctification. And all sanctification is, it's a big word, which means becoming more like Jesus. And it's a process that's going to take all of your life and all of eternity. But this is God's will for your life, to become more like Jesus. I mean, who wouldn't want to become more like Jesus? This is God's purpose. This is his will for our lives. But on top of that, he also has individual tasks for each and every single one of you to accomplish as his follower. And we need to know what that purpose is, and we need to know what that will is, and it requires the Word. Why? Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the Word of God is alive and powerful. Real quick, this Word is alive. It's not just some book. It is the Word of God. And there are churches out there today that are claiming that this is not really God's Word. Again, voices deceiving people. This is the one thing that irks my wife. This is the one thing right now that my wife is just wrestling through and praying, because more and more people that we love and know are being deceived by pastors who claim that this is not really the Word of God. It's a good book, has good values and morals, but it's not really God's Word. It's alive, it's active, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes the innermost thoughts and desires. That's what the Word of God does. And if you were here back in April when Megan and I first visited, I preached a sermon about the Word we need. And our whole emphasis was 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Again, all Scripture is inspired by God. All Scripture is breathed out by God. Scripture, the Bible, is God's Word. And it is profitable, it's useful to teach us, rebuke us, correct us, to train us in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. If you want to become more like Jesus, you need the Word of God in your life. You need to allow the Word of God to do what it does. And it's painful. I mean, the writer of Hebrews tells us, it's sharp, it cuts, it hurts sometimes. But again, it's all for our good and His glory. We need the Word of God. It helps, it's what helps us grow spiritually, but it also guides us. Now, I only picked two verses to talk about with this one, and they all come from the same chapter, but I could throw up millions of verses to talk about how God's Word guides us. If we want to know the direction for our lives, if we want to walk in the Spirit and walk with the Spirit, we need the Word of God in our lives. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." We need God's Word to show us the way. And what is the way? His way. His way. And probably some of my most favorite verses in all the Bible, Psalm 119, 9 through 11. "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your," what? "Word. I've sought you with all my heart. Don't let me wander from your commands. I've treasured your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you." God's Word guides us. It leads us in the path of righteousness. Yes, the relationship piece, the Spirit comes and lives in us, but we need the Word of God to help guide us. We need it in our lives. And the only way we can allow the Word of God to guide us, again, it goes back to that second one. We need to do what it says. We need to do what it says. We need the Word of God. We need to know God's voice. We need to know His voice so that when He is doing His work in us, when He's cutting and removing the things that don't need to be there, we need to know His voice and allow Him to do it. Which leads me lastly to probably one of the most important things, why it's important for us to know His voice, again, primarily through His Word. Insight number four. It's how we fight the enemy. It is how we fight the enemy. It is how we combat the voice of the father of all lies, the deceiver. Jesus is very clear. The devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And he will do anything to do that. Again, even disguise himself as an angel of light, a wolf in sheep's clothing. The Bible says he's like a lion ready to pounce. and devour those who will let him. But thanks be to God that he gives us the formula to fight the enemy. Again, we talked about last week, prayer is essential. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but principalities, the spirit in the air. It's a spiritual battle. And Paul lets us know how to fight that battle. He tells us to take up the whole armor of God. It requires all of the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. But I want you to see one of the last things that he requires us to take up to fight that battle. Ephesians 6:17 tells us to take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So when we pray, what is it we are praying? We are speaking against the lies and praying truth that is found where? In God's word. Amen. We're not just saying things to say things. We're praying the truths that are found in God's word, because the word of God is true. And Jesus modeled this perfectly for us. I give you the temptation of Jesus, which is found in Matthew 4, 1 through 11, and Luke 1 through 13. I'm going to go through this quickly because it's such a good story. Your homework is to go home and read this over and over again, a few times, and see how the Son of God fights the enemy. It says that Jesus was led up by the Spirit to go into the wilderness. Now understand the context. Christ was just baptized, and he's about to begin his earthly ministry. And the Spirit of God descended like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." Okay? That's important. Remember, this is my Son. Okay? Jesus goes out into the wilderness for 40 days. Doesn't eat, drink, sleep. Okay? I know we got some manly mountain men in this body. I challenge you to go do that. Just kidding. You won't survive. Okay? You won't survive. Okay? But Christ went out into the wilderness. And in his flesh, because Christ is fully God and fully man, he was weak. Because he didn't eat and drink for 40 days. And the deceiver comes. The deceiver comes and does exactly what he does. He says, "If you are the Son of God." God just declared it. Jesus says, "If you really are him, I know you're hungry. Why don't you go ahead and take these stones and turn it into bread?" And Christ says, "It is written." Where is it written? In the word. "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on what? Every word that comes from the mouth of God." Oh, you guys are so good. But the devil wasn't done. He wasn't done. So then he goes and takes him on to the highest peak, the pinnacle of the temple. And he says again, "If you are the Son of God." And then he does what he does best. He even uses scripture. Christ said it's written, so here you go, Christ. "It is written." Throw yourself off, because it's written about you that the angels will not let you dash your foot upon the stone. That's a truth found in scripture, is it not? But you see how the devil's twisting it. "If you are the Son of God, do this." Again, Christ responds, "It is also written." Where is it written? "Do not test the Lord your God." Then lastly, the devil takes Jesus onto a high mountain, shows him all the kingdom, and he says, "All this can be yours if you just bow down and worship me." And Christ says, "Get behind me, Satan, because it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him alone." And it says the devil left him. James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The word of God is how we fight our battle against the enemy. We need to know the Word of God. We need to know His voice so that we can speak truth over the lies. So that just begs the question then, how do we listen to God through His Word? How do we do this? There's many ways we can do this. Obviously, I would start with step number one, by reading it. If you have a hard time reading it, kids, you can put it on your parents' tablet or phone, and it'll read it for you. I mean, that's the world we live in today. Praise God. I tell Julie every single day, I think, I hate technology. But at the same time, I'm so thankful for technology. Start by reading it, okay? That's how we listen to God. It requires us actually being in His Word. And I'll just do another quick plug. I am a fan of a physical Bible that you can open yourself, turn the pages, and read. Again, if you use your phone, praise God. I'm old school. Give me the real thing. Give me the real thing. That's just my side. Off my soapbox, as we'll get to that. How I'm going to share with you how I primarily listen to God through His Word. And it requires soap. No, not bar of soap, although the Word washes us, it cleanses us, right? Many of you probably know this or have heard of this, but again, I want us all on the same footing. Okay? I want us all on the same footing. Now, you could probably take any four-letter word and say whatever you want to say and make it fit. I like soap. I grew up on soap, okay? Soap is an acronym, okay? Again, you could have any four-letter word. Hear, reap. I've heard them all, okay? Again, I like soap. Soap stands for Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. Say that with me. Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. And so what I do as I try to daily be in the Word, I follow a Bible reading plan. Okay, and if you're wondering what you should be reading in God's Word, I would just say, if you're new to the Word or whatever, start with John, okay? I love John, I've already said this, okay? But I would encourage all of you to find a Bible reading plan. Something that you can follow along that tells you what to read every single day, okay? If you're someone like me, I like using the Life Journal Plan by Wayne Cadero. That's what I've used. That's what I've grown up using. Okay, it's a Bible reading plan that gives me roughly 5 to 6 chapters-ish. And I know some of you are like, oh my gosh, that's so much. It is. It's a lot. Okay, it is a lot. But at heart, I'm a Bible scholar. I love studying God's Word. Okay, but there are other versions where it's just the New Testament. There are versions where you're just getting one chapter a day. There's the F260 Bible reading plan, which is 260 foundational Bible reading scriptures that'll take you through the Bible in a year. There's a New Testament version. There's a whole Bible version. If you're looking for resources on Bible reading plans and how to read the Bible, I'm your guy, okay? So just shoot me an email, a text, or whatever, and I'll get you. My heart is just to see God's people in His Word, okay? Whatever works for you, okay? Whatever plan works for you, okay? For me, it's the Life Journal plan. It takes me through the Old Testament once and the New Testament twice in a year, okay? Takes me through the Old Testament once and the New Testament twice in a year. And what I do is every morning, I'll admit it's not every morning, okay? But I try to have that daily time with the Lord, okay? If it's not in the morning, I try to do it in maybe in the afternoon or at nighttime. Whatever it is, whatever works for you, your schedule, just try to find time with God. And I just come to whatever the daily Bible reading was. Like today, it was Habakkuk 1-3 and John chapter 8. Okay, 4 chapters. Okay, 3 in the old, 1 in the new. Okay. And I come to the Lord and I start with prayer. That's a good way to start, right? Now, what many of us try to do is when we have a Bible reading plan or we're trying to spend daily time with God is we're trying to look for something to get from it. Right? What nugget can I get today? And I just want to say there's nothing wrong with that. I want to get something from God's Word. But can I just say the most important thing is to just hear His voice. So if anything else, you're coming to Scripture saying, God, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your voice. And so I take the posture like Samuel when I come to Scripture, and I just simply say, speak, Lord. Your servant's listening. And then I just begin reading, waiting to hear from the Lord. He might say something that's very challenging. He might say something that's very encouraging. But whatever it is, when something comes in through my reading and I know it's the Lord speaking to me, I'll stop and I'll highlight whatever that is. So that's the Scripture piece of soap. God gives me a Scripture. And I write that Scripture down, how it's written in the word that I'm reading. And then I'll continue reading a little bit because we want to understand God's word fully, yes? We don't just take a verse and then rip it out of context and try to apply it to our lives right then and there, okay? That's not how we do things, okay? In the Bible world, we call that eisegesis, meaning we're speaking into what we think the Scripture is instead of the biblical approach to Scripture, which is exegesis, meaning we exegete the text, we study God's word, we figure out what God meant and said in that particular context, in that particular time. And then when we find out what that main particular theme or principle is for that, then we apply that to our lives. Does this make sense? Yeah. And that's where the observation comes in. So you're reading and a Scripture speaks to you and you highlight it in your Bible. I'm all for highlighting Bibles, okay? I have some that I don't highlight. I have some that I do. But I'm all for marking up your Bible. But you write the Scripture down, and then you observe what's going on. You just observe what's going on in the text. You just observe. Like, for example, I'll share with you today what I read this morning. Again, I was in Habakkuk 1 through 3 and John 8. And there were a few things that I felt like were really encouraging in Habakkuk, but then I got to John. And God is just so funny sometimes. And he gave me a word this morning that particularly applies to what we're talking about today, knowing God's voice. And it was in John 8:47. And it says, these are Jesus' words. It says, the one who is from God listens to God's words. This is why you don't listen, because you're not from God. And I was like, whew. And so, yeah. And so then I went to the observation piece, and I just wrote down what I'm seeing taking place in Scripture. I'm not worried about how this applies to me right now. I'm not worried about how I'm going to turn this into a 5-point sermon or anything like that, okay? This is just hearing from God. And this is what I wrote for my observation. And this is the context in which it's speaking. I encourage you to read John 8 so you can test me on this, okay? All I wrote was Jesus is speaking to the Jewish religious elite. They are debating the truth about who Jesus claims to be. Jesus tells them that if you were really children of God, children of Abraham, because they're talking about this, they're talking about how they're children of Abraham, Jesus says they would know that what Jesus is saying is true, that what Jesus is saying about who he is true. He's telling them, and this is where we get a lot of the famous I am statements in John. Jesus tells them, I am him. I am the one who came to set you free. But they were blinded because they weren't open to receive that truth. They only cared about their laws and their understanding of Scripture. And Jesus warns them that they need to listen to God's word because Jesus is the word. Time and time in that Scripture, Jesus is telling them, if you would just listen to me, because I am the Word. And this is the famous chapter where Jesus goes on at the end of the chapter. They're talking about this whole debate between Abraham, and it's like, you're not even 50 years old. How could you have been there with Abraham? How do you know Abraham? And that's where Jesus famously says, before Abraham, I am. And it's that same I am statement when Moses is in front of the burning bush. And he says, how am I going to tell the people who sent me? Who sent me? And Christ says, I am. Tell them the I am sent you. Jesus is claiming to be the Messiah, and they won't listen to him. That's the observation. That's what's taking place in the text. Now it's time to apply this. Now it's time to understand, God, you showed this to me. What is it you want from me? And this is what I wrote, plain and simple. I said, I need to listen to God's word. I need to listen to Jesus. I need the word of God every day in my life. I need to listen and know God's voice through his word. Plain and simple. That's what God spoke to me. So my application is I'm going to read God's word. And then, of course, you close it out with a prayer. Start with prayer, end with prayer. All I said was, Lord, thank you for your word. I need it in my life. Help me to spend time every day listening to your voice from your word. And help me to do what you're telling me to do from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. That's it. That's how I listen to God through his word. There's other ways to listen to God through his word. I know people who read God's word and they're artists. And they're reading God's word and God gives them a picture and they draw it. However it is God speaks to you through his word, the point is, again, be in his word. Again, my method, the SOAP method, it's just a model. The goal of listening is to listen to the Father's voice and do what he tells you to do. And do what he tells you to do. Now, real quick, you might be asking, okay, Nick, what does this have to do then with the foundations that we're talking about? What does this have to do with discipleship? Being a people who listen to God's voice and does what he says, who makes disciples and helps other disciples follow Jesus. What does this have to do with that? Two things. Number one, again, this starts with you and your relationship with God. I said from the beginning, in my opinion, of all the things that Christ commands us to do, surrender, talk, listen, all these things, in my opinion, the most important one, surrender. Because if we can get surrender, we don't have to worry about the other ones. Because if we're surrendered to God, we will talk to him. If we're surrendered to God, we will listen to him in his word. If we're surrendered to God, we will make disciples. Plain and simple. But when it comes to our personal relationship with God, talking about foundations, these three are the foundation. Surrendering to God daily, talking to God daily, and listening to God daily. If you want to grow in your relationship with Christ, it will require these three things. How does that practically look in your own life? Glad you asked. Right here. Start off every day. Simple. Lord, I'm yours. Lord, I'm yours. And wait and listen to what he has to say to you. Spend time in his word. Speak, Lord. Your servant's listening. Again, it's not about trying to get something out of it. It's about spending time with God and hearing his voice. And then talk to him about it. Talk to God about what he spoke to you today. Talk to God about what he spoke to you. And then, this is where the discipleship piece comes in. Talk to others about what God is saying to you. As iron sharpens iron, so does one brother sharpen another. We need each other. We need to be encouraging each other through what God is saying to us in his word. For us, with discipleship, when I would walk through discipleship with somebody as I'm discipling a new believer, and we'd talk about surrender, we would talk about praying, and we talk about listening. At that point on, our discipleship sessions looked completely different in one sense. We still talked about these things, but we started off every session with these two questions. After we got through surrender, talk, and listen, we started off with these two questions. Mike, what's God saying to you in his word? And what are you doing about it? That's how we started every session from then on out. What is God saying to you in his word? And what are you doing about it? Sometimes they didn't know what they were doing about it. because God was still working on them. I was discipling a young man. We got through this, and we met and gathered, and I said, Joe, we'll just call him Joe. Not you, Joe, but everyone has all the common names around here. Anyway, we'll call him Joe. Joe Schmo. Okay? Joe Schmo, what's God saying to you in his word? What are you doing about it? And he told me how he was reading in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, where it says, be kind to one another, forgiving one another, as God has forgiven you in Christ. And I was like, okay, tell me more about that. God said that to you. What are you doing about it? He says, I'm not quite sure. Because I know I'm supposed to forgive, because that's what God calls us to do, but right now I just don't think I have anyone in my life that I need to forgive. But for some reason, this verse, God was speaking to them. And so for the next week, he just spent time praying about that. We gathered again the following week. Joe Schmo, what's God been saying to you in his word, and what are you doing about it? He said, I'm still stuck on last week. I'm like, did he reveal anything to you? Did he say anything to you? And he said, yeah. I realized that there were some people in my life from way back in the day that did things to him that he just couldn't forgive. And God, through spending time in his word, allowing the sword to cut deep, allowing it to correct him, revealed to him people in his life that he just couldn't forgive. And so right then and there, he prayed and released that. He surrendered it to the Lord. We prayed together right then and there. But there was another thing that happened with it. God didn't want him just to stop there. For him, God was calling him to go reconcile. He felt like the Lord really wanted him to go and reconcile with those people. Let those people know. Let them know that he was holding on to this. Let them know that he needed to forgive. Again, what is God saying to you in his word? And what are you doing about it? We surrender daily. We talk to him daily. We listen to him daily. And we follow him daily. That is why it's important we listen to God through his word. That is why it's important we learn the voice of God, so that when he speaks, we will act. And when the father of all lies comes in and tries to use good things like scripture to deceive you, you'll be able to know it's a lie. You'll be able to discern truth from lies, and you will walk in the truth. That is my heart for this church, that every single one of us would learn the voice of God. And as we go and grow and make disciples, we would show and teach others how to learn the voice of God. I know that was probably heavy, but like the word says, it's alive and it's active. We need the word of God in our lives. We need the word in our lives. We need to listen to the Father. With that, we're going to close with communion. So I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. And I just want to share with you briefly what communion is. Again, this is a command from the Lord for us to observe and to do. And we're going to talk about this in a few weeks. But all communion is we are remembering the Lord's sacrifice. And the only requirement for communion is that you belong to the family of God. You don't have to belong to this church. As long as you belong to Christ, you're free to take communion. And as we take communion, again, we're not just taking it because this is what we do every first Sunday of the month. It's intentional why we do this. It's intentional that we remember God and his goodness. It's intentional that we remember Christ's sacrifice. On that night when he was to be betrayed, he issued the new covenant. He broke bread, passed it around, and said, take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the wine and passed it and said, take and drink and do this in remembrance of me. This is the new covenant that he's issuing. And so as the ushers go and distribute, I'm going to pray. And then I want us as a church body, we're going to take it together. So once the ushers are done distributing the elements, I'm going to pray and we're going to take communion together. And we're going to do so as an act of remembering Christ and his faithfulness to us. Amen? Amen. So as the ushers distribute, just hold on to it. Hold on to it, and we will pray in just a moment. Thank you, ushers. Mike, I'll go ahead and grab one too, if you would, please. Thank you. Please get one yourself there. All right, does everyone have one? Thank you, brothers. All right. Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, would talk about the importance of the Lord's Supper. And he reminds us, again, of the purpose for communion. In 1 Corinthians 11, starting verse 23, Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's eat together. He would also say, in the same way, he also took the cup after the supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's drink together. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I thank you for your son Jesus. As we, as a church body, as a church family, took time to remember your sacrifice, Lord. Lord, you broke your body so that we could receive the blessing of that brokenness, so that our brokenness could be healed by your stripes, by your wounds. And Jesus, the blood that you poured out, that covers the sin. We thank you for that sacrifice, Lord. And as we honor you this morning by remembering your sacrifice, Father, let us not forget, as so often and easily as we can, the importance of remembering your sacrifice. Thank you again, Lord, for this church body. Thank you again, Lord, for your commitment to us. Help us, Lord, to walk humbly with you. Help us to listen to your voice. And help us to do what you call us to do, which is to make disciples. Go with us today, Lord. Thank you again. It's in Jesus' name all God's people said. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mountain Valley Chapel. You are free to go. Enjoy the good weather that's coming. And we'll see you next week. God bless.